yes. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now hear the word of the Lord. The enemy has come and life has come at you like a flood. It has overwhelmed you and caught you by surprise. And the feeling of your heart, even as you hear this word, the feeling of your heart has been, I don't know if I can make it. It doesn't look good for me. But I want to say to you, even though the enemy has come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard against him. And he is blocking the full force of what the enemy has done. And I would remind you, the Lord says, was there not a flood that covered the earth? And did I not rescue my people out of that flood? For the higher the flood rose, the higher my people rose in the midst of it. And I am holding you up and lifting you up. And I want you to know I will be a strong wall of protection around you, even in the times of attack, when life comes at you so strong and you don't know which way to turn. Turn to me, says the Lord. For I've got your back and I will watch over you, says the Lord. And when you pass through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you pass through the fires, you will not be burned. For I, the Lord, am your deliverer and your savior. And as you look to me, you will see victory. And your enemies who came at you from one direction will flee from you in 10 directions, says the Lord. For this day has been appointed. This day is named victory, says the Lord. This day is named breakthrough for my people, says the Lord. For this shall be your time to offer worship, even as Noah did when the flood waters subsided. And hear the word of the Lord. As it came in, so it will go out against you. You will see the lessening of that flood, and you will offer a sacrifice of praise to me, and you will say, the Lord has delivered me. Hear my promise to you in this moment. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will watch over my promises to perform it, and I will bring you through every flood, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you needed that, shout hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we thank you right now for your presence and how we feel safe and we feel protected. And we know that we are safe, Lord, under the shadow of your wings. Lord, surrounded by your angels working your will in the earth. And I praise you for touching us in moments like this and healing us and lifting us and inspiring us, Lord, to serve you. Lord, let joy and strength and peace fill every person. Through Christ we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, worship team. Awesome. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I am excited to be able to speak words of blessing over all the women this morning at the end of the service because women are special and moms especially so. But we're going to bless all the women at the end of the service, and we'll have a good time just before we go. I'm going to speak in just a moment, but I want to invite you into something. I don't know what you're doing this summer. Maybe you have some time, and maybe you love a city that I love called San Diego. But we're going to be doing an outreach, Lord willing. We'd like to put together a team of about 10 young adults, maybe 15, or those that are young at heart, and you're physically able to do this outreach. We've been kind of mentoring and coming alongside a church plant in the city of San Diego in December of last year. Kathy and I went down and met with this beautiful church planting team. We had prayer high up on the mountain. I forget what the name of that mountain is in San Diego, but we just prayed for the city, and I just could feel something happening there. And so we've come alongside this group, and we're helping them. And one of the things that's special about the city of San Diego is they have amazing unity between the churches. And the churches work together in marvelous ways. And one of their goals of the church in San Diego is to visit every single home in that city and leave a gift bag with a Bible and a copy of the Jesus movie, the Jesus video for every home. This is like millions of dollars that's already been paid for. It's already done. It just needs to be delivered house by house. Hello, we're here just to bless you. This is from the church in San Diego. And so the church we're working with, Coastlands, has volunteered for a section. What we'd like to do is send a team down of people that will drive down, have a little beach time, have some fun together, do some Bible study, do about 4 or 5 hours of door-to-door, and then stay the night and experience their worship service there in the city of San Diego, and then drive back. That would be the kind of a thing that a young adult would love to do, I would think. And so if you're into that and you would like to do that, we estimate it's going to cost about $195 a person for the van and the experience, the hotel and all of that. But what we'd like to do, if we can get a team together, we'll take an offering and see what we can raise and try to defray as much of that cost as possible. So if you're bored, if you're between jobs, if you are looking for some fun, and your calendar is free on June 28th, 29th, and 30th, be a part of this team. Contact Pastor Steve and Jan. That's them sitting next to Kathy in the coffee shop. They're a part of our team now, and they're in charge of our missions experiences. And so their first effort is to lead this trip. Steve and Jan Wilson, just call the church number, 281-7900, and let them know you want information, and then that somebody will get back to you with information on Saturate San Diego. Our eye is on cities. Hallelujah. And some of you know that we're also partnering and soon joining together with a church in the city of Las Vegas. So we're going to have, probably before the end of this year, we'll have our sixth location called Gateway Las Vegas. What do you think about that? Isn't that great? Yeah. So we're continuing on. And what's happening is churches really are the best way to reach people. It's just, there's nothing better on earth than churches. But making churches strong and healthy is something very important. A lot of churches struggle. We come in and we serve them and help them and resource them and inspire them and get their systems strong. And as in the case of this Las Vegas church, they said, we don't want to do this without you guys. We want to be Gateway Las Vegas. So that's happening. And how many of you know it's better to do it together than alone, right? So that's what's going on, and God is blessing us, and I'm real excited. All right, let's get into the message. You got your teaching outline and some scriptures, and then we'll pray together. And by the way, I have a really special presentation at the end of the service. I'll talk to you some more about that. We're in a series called Heroes, and we've been talking about rising up to be the person that God has called you to be, almost like a superhero of faith. And you can't talk about superheroes without talking about superhero powers. So the question of this morning is, what's your superpower? What's the thing that God has given to you? Because you are a hero unlike any other. There's nobody else like you. God only made one of you. And I heard somebody say amen. That's a good thing, right? But he made one of you, and you are unique, and he has given you a purpose, an assignment, I want to say. I want to say God has given you an assignment, a calling. It's something you'll be very comfortable with. It's something that will fit right for you. It'll be just down your lane. It's exactly what you were created. And when you do that, it's going to bring you great joy. But if you're going to rise up to be the superhero that God has called you to be in the earth, you got to discover your superpower. And so when you look at the comic books and the movies and all of that, all the superheroes had superpowers. And so just to remind you what some of those superpowers were, Superman, what was he? He was stronger than a speeding bullet, faster than a train, right? Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, right? He had an X-ray vision, something I always wanted as a child. We could talk about that another time. And he could fly, which is pretty mundane as far as superheroes go. Almost all the superheroes can fly. Your Wonder Woman can fly. Your Batman, no, he can't fly. But your Superman can fly. Then there's Spider-Man. He had Spidey sense. He could jump from building to building. Pretty cool. And Wonder Woman, of course, she had a lot of abilities. Superhuman strength, the power to fly. She had enhanced senses, like so many of the ladies do. I got to tell you about one Wonder Woman that's in my life, this beautiful lady right here in the front row, Kathy Canastrese. We're talking about what is your superpower. I want to tell you what her superpower is. She can hear across any restaurant, four booths down. She can tell you exactly what the other people are talking about. I go, how would you know that? I'm not even paying attention. She has radar. She knows what's going on. Are any of you guys with ladies like that? They know what's going on. How many of you guys are with ladies that know when you've been doing something you shouldn't do? They got spidey sense on that. Yeah. Okay. You're wise to keep your hands down. Just clutch your lady's hand right quick. And it's a superpower. Everybody say a superpower. I was at the gym the other day and heard a couple of guys talking about a guy who ran. You know, you hear these stories every once in a while of totally healthy people that just fall down dead. It's awful. And somebody died at our gym not long ago. And so we were talking about that, right? You know, he's doing the treadmill and all that, and he just fell over dead, you know, which is not a real encouragement to the other clients. But in any case, then one of the stories that we're talking about was a guy that was running a 5K race, and he had a heart attack as he ran, and he fell down. But running the race with him was an ER nurse, and this lady knew exactly what to do. She was running right behind him. So she stopped. Neither of them placed very well in the race, as you can imagine. But she stopped and did whatever an ER nurse would do with her bare hands. I don't know. But she used her superpower, right, to save this guy's life. My question for you is, what's your superpower? Think about yourself and the unique thing that you could bring to the world around you. If you're a mother, I have to say you have many superpowers. If you're a woman, you have amazing superpowers. Labor and delivery is a superpower. Raising a toddler is a superpower. I tell you, I watch my daughter-in-laws and the way they handle their children, it's amazing. And I just look back and I say, did we do that, honey? Did we put up with all that? Being a young mom is a superpower. Can I have an amen for that? And so... Everybody has a superpower. And here's the deal. Because you're a part of God's family, you were born again into the family of God. That means you have common DNA with God. That means you are not of this world. There is something, you're not just a person, you're a person infused with the characteristics and nature of God himself. First of all, you were created in his image. So just the fact that you're alive means you have certain qualities that are quite amazing. But when you're born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he washes away your sins, and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, you have superpowers. And not only that, there are gifts that God has given you, things that define you, things that maybe only someone like you could do. So what are those things? Let me just say it this way. We have superhero DNA. Every single one of us has inside of us, and this doesn't sound like maybe theology to you, but I promise you, I'm on solid ground here. We have the DNA of heaven in us. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 17, where he prayed for us. He said these words, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. He's talking about us. He said, concerning us, we are not of this world. He said, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they can be made holy by your truth. There's a lot in that verse about holiness and the reason Jesus died for us to set us free from sin and make us holy. You may not feel holy, but if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are positioned in holiness because you walk in the truth. And Jesus died to wash your sins away. It's amazing. But look at this. He said, just as you sent me into the world, Lord, I send my followers into the world. So not only are you not of this world, but you've been given a mission in the world, which to me sounds a little bit like a superhero status. So what's your superpower? Are you a mom? Are you a single dad? Are you working in education? Are you working in medicine? Are you a musician? What's your superpower? I think about some of the people that I know right here in this congregation. Believe me, this is the greatest group of people I've ever known in my life. Like, when I'm not around, I miss you guys, and I admire the people that are here. I admire the gifts. I watch these guys on the platform. I watch our guys out. I watch our life group leaders and our intercessors and our children's people, and I can't believe the amazing powers that people have in this church. And I want to say thank you for using your superpower for God. Some of you are encouragers. Some of you prophesy. Some of you pray for people. You're intercessors. It's what's your superpower? And how's your mission going? Are you? You don't have to be like anybody else. You certainly don't have to be like me. You wouldn't probably want to be like me. But you find out what you're called to do. Find out what your thing is and get on it. And you can't do everything. That's another thing. You can't do everything, but you can do your assignment. Come on, somebody say assignment. Yeah. So you've got all this stuff. Like, I want to do this. I want to do that. You say, Lord, what's my assignment? Because I'll say this. Your assignment is a key to your superpower. And your superpower is revealed in your assignment. All right, let me get back on track. John 17, now let's look at Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13, does this sound like somebody who should be discouraged, defeated, and you know, not feeling special? I'm going to tell you, you're special. Paul said, for I can do everything through Christ. Can we read this verse out loud together? You would feel better if you just said it. Come on, say it with me. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me, Kenneth Tracy version, who gives me superpowers. I can do all things because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's a superpower. And every person who follows Jesus becomes, in a way, a hero of faith. A couple of Sundays ago, I took you to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where we read about the heroes of faith in the Bible. Can we put this verse up? Right at the end of that chapter, here's the commentary on all these people, Samson and Noah and Abraham and Abel and Jacob and all the people that were God's heroes of faith. And this is what it says. These heroes all died, still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that they had been promised. But they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises, and they gladly embrace it from afar. They all live their lives, I love this, they all live their lives on earth as those who belonged to another realm. When you believe God, when you trust in God, you're not the same as everybody else. You live your life like a person from another dimension. And I want you to walk down the street. I want you to walk into this building. I want you to walk onto your campus and in your workplace, not cowering, not afraid of who's going to do what or feeling like a guest, like you don't even belong here. I don't want you. When you come into this church, you belong, I'm telling you right now. And I want you to stand every inch of your ground and know that you are from another world. You are special. The power of God lives on the inside of you. And when you're living by faith, you keep your head up high. No matter what people may say about you, no matter what they may think about your faith or your beliefs or your performance or whatever it is, you hold your head up high. You may have made mistakes like I have, a million mistakes. You may feel so embarrassed and so ashamed by some of the problems you've had in your life. You walk with your head up high. And you just keep telling yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm on assignment from heaven. I've been sent from another realm, and I've got a mission to accomplish. Hallelujah. You're a hero of faith. I don't know if you're feeling more confident, but I pray by the time you walk out of this room today, You're going to feel the strength of God on the inside of you, ready to embrace whatever comes this week, this month, and the rest of your life. You are enough because you are filled with the power of heaven. Come on, somebody. Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me superpowers. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you three superpowers that you have that you might not know that you have. Heroes of faith have three superpowers. You want the first one? Here it is. Number one, the superpower that you have, you are filled with God's love. And brother, there is nothing greater than love. We don't take the time this morning to read the whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But Paul talks about how love never fails. It never gives up. It never stops. Love is unstoppable. It's the one thing that if you get love in your life, you can still change the world. Your anger will not change the world. Your hate will not change the world. Your jealousy will not change the world. Your money will not change the world. But if you flow in love, if you walk in love despite what other people are doing around you, if you walk in love, you have the greatest superpower of all. The end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest power is what? Love. Can I ask you, are you getting filled up with love? Is the music you're listening to? Is the podcast you're listening to? Is the conversation you're listening to, is that filling you with love? Or is it just getting you mad? Because you wonder, you were born to carry something and you're carrying it today. What are you carrying on the inside of you? Carry love. Carry the love of God everywhere you go. And when you speak to a child, and when you speak to somebody that's you have responsibility for at work, or when you meet a stranger, or when you speak to your mother today, when you call her and say, Happy Mother's Day, let that love flow. You say, but you don't know my mom. She's crazy. She's going to start in on me as soon as I pick up. Just flow in love. Hallelujah. Mom, I love you. Thank you for always making me feel afraid. Thank you for always making me feel love. Thank you, Mom. The greatest is love. Elizabeth Elliot was the wife of Jim Elliot, missionary to Ecuador back in 1956. Her husband, Jim, they were there together on assignment, along with four of their missionary friends, were attempting to contact the Huarani tribe when they were speared to death. The people that they were trying to reach murdered them. Their daughter, Valerie, was 10 months old when her father was killed. The Huarani tribe was at the time considered to be the most savage tribe of people known to man. After Jim's death, Elizabeth, his wife, and her small child came to a point where probably I might have said, I think my job is done. I think I've had enough. I think I'm going to change what I'm doing with myself. But not Elizabeth. She said, we're continuing on, and we're going to live with these people, and we're going to reach them for Jesus. She kept going. You know, love never stops. And she was on her assignment, and she didn't see a reason to stop. But after 2 years of living with the tribe, she had already translated, her and her team had translated the Bible into the Huarani language. And tribes people were coming to faith here and there, and people were finding the forgiveness of sin. The very people that murdered her husband, she was able to lead them to the Lord. Her comment at the end of this, when people said, how did you get the power to do that? That's like, I would have said, that's a superpower. How many think that's a superpower, right? I mean, wow. If she had said, I think I've had enough, we probably would all say, yeah, you get a pass. You don't need to go any further. How did you do that, they asked her. And she said, I just love them. So, single mom, struggling college student, senior citizen, what's your superpower? One of them
is the greatest power of all, and that is love. And you can love everybody and anybody, and I challenge you to do that. It's the greatest power, and it's in our DNA. You say, well, I don't always feel like loving. I don't either, honestly. Love is not something you generate. Love is something you receive and pass on. So if you have been forgiven much, you forgive. If you've been loved much, you love. You just pass the blessing on. Say, you know, God's been patient with me. God hasn't given up with me. He hasn't given up on me. I'm going to stick with you. God is stuck with me. I'm going to stick with you. So we're in this together. It's amazing to me how fast we want to give up on people. Oh, that's it. He's done. I don't like the way he thinks. I don't like the way he talks. He's out. He's off my list. But we forget how much God has put up with us. It's getting quiet here on a Mother's Day Sunday morning. This message is for the person next to you, not for you. Don't worry. Not for you. Everybody say love. It's the greatest power. And before you go home today, you're going to hear about an opportunity that's so beautiful that you can show love. And because some of you have the assignment to be there for children, foster children. If that's your assignment, you're going to hear just a little bit more about that. Number two, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. What's your superpower? I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1, if I believe and I receive, I will be filled with the power of heaven. That's not coming from people. That's coming directly from heaven itself. You will receive power. And that word power is dunamis. It means dynamic. It means dynamic power. It's explosive power. There's power that runs along wires that could light up a light bulb or turn on an appliance, and that's cool. But dunamis is something that would shake the earth. Dunamis is something that will move things and cause things to move. And that power is in you. Can I be honest with you? I don't always feel powerful. And sometimes people expect me to be powerful all the time. I don't always feel it. But I know that I have the Holy Spirit. He never leaves me. Last Sunday, I was scheduled to be with our Clovis campus. I try to get to our campuses. And I was scheduled to be in Clovis. And I had it was such a busy week and a full week and so many things going on. I was tired. And when I get tired, I don't always feel God and I don't always feel in a good mood. But, you know, I'm doing my job. I'm faithful. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do my job. But I'm thinking, I got nothing. I'm not feeling like I'd rather just take a nap. That's what I'm thinking, right? So Pastor DeAndre goes with me, and we make the three-hour drive. And all that way on that drive, we had a good time talking, but I'm thinking, I got nothing. I don't know what. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit. I got a text. Pastor David, we've been fasting and praying for your trip here. I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. No pressure. And we got in that service, and DeAndre had his hands up, and he was crying and enjoying worship, and I was looking at him like, what's wrong with him, man? I'm feeling nothing. I'm exhausted. I'm wrung out. And I just said, Holy Spirit, I trust you. When the moment comes, just take over. It's not the message. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got going, and Pastor Sam prophesied, and it was exactly what was in my spirit. And instead of letting him finish, I jumped in and interrupted as he finished so that we wouldn't lose the moment. And we continued on in the prophetic, and people just started receiving the Lord. People were crying, and there was a breakthrough, and lives were changed, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit. And here's the secret. Here's the secret. You are a carrier of the Holy Spirit, and you have a choice. And let me just say this prophetically, because I've been feeling this for a few days. I don't know who this is for. Don't miss your moment. God schedules moments in time for us, blessings. And if you keep going down the road, when the time and your life intercepts that moment, it's like a breakthrough. But if you turn left and say, forget it, I don't feel like going. I don't want to be there. Whatever it is. You know, we've all had those feelings, right? We've all had that feeling like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be there. But the thing is, sometimes God has scheduled a moment for you. Show up for your moment. Don't miss the moment, because in that moment, if you trust the Holy Spirit, pow! It'll break through in you, and you will be a blessing for other people. Turn to your neighbor right now. Smile at him and say, don't miss your moment. Don't point at him. That's rude. That's not nice. But just smile and say, don't miss your moment. So it's about the Holy Spirit. What's your superpower? It's related to your assignment. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Jump up, Gary. Ephesians 3, verse 20, if we can. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. That's a superpower. And it's yours. Love, the power of the Holy Spirit, and here's number three. You are fortified and filled with grace. Everybody say grace. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've invited Christ into your life, you have access to the grace of God. You're not going to find, we're not going to beat you up. We're not going to beat you up. When you come to Gateway, you're going to find grace. Hallelujah. You want to know why? Because there's enough pain in the world already. We got it. We're all a wreck. We got it. We're all sick. We got it. Now, what's the solution? Grace. Hallelujah. A changed life. And so if you want your life to change, and if you came today in a place of need, some of you, your hearts are broken. You're in a position you never thought you'd be in. You're in that flood. You're going through something that's so humiliating, so embarrassing. Even the people that love you don't quite understand. You just feel alone. It's hard. Where do you go? You go to the throne of grace. And that's where you find help in the time of need. Wives, don't look at your husbands like they can fix you. They can't. They don't have a clue. Husbands, don't expect your children to help you or your boss to do this. Look to God. And you will never be disappointed. Never put your trust in something you can lose. You can never lose God. And he'll never give up on you. You put your trust on him and trust in the grace of God. Whatever you're going through, trust in him. He'll bring you through it. And if you're in crisis, grace is what you need. It's a superpower. And if you're in pain, grace is what you need. It's a superpower. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God has given these supernatural powers to every believer and so much more if we simply ask for it. The first step is for us to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He will give us his love. He will give us his power, and he will give us his grace. And then all that's left is for us to live a supernatural life empowered by him. I want to pray that you will experience that life. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for these moments, Lord. Lord, I believe that somewhere in this day is a moment for every single person. And I'm asking you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon this moment. Lord, would you lift every heart that's hurting? Would you strengthen every person that feels weak, like, I don't know if I can keep doing this? God, let them be strong. I pray you fill us with love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we will live out our mission together, encouraging each other, helping each other, standing up for each other, protecting each other, encouraging each other. Lord, let this community be a place where lives are changed. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed for just another moment. I want to talk to people in this room who who honestly aren't connecting with grace, you know it. You know that where you're at in your life, you're kind of on the run from God. You don't know him. You're not connecting to him. I spoke briefly about Jesus and his death on the cross and how that releases new life to us. But I want to give you a chance to open your heart to him. Would you invite Christ into your heart? Would you invite Christ into your pain? Would you invite him into your sin? Would you invite him into your lostness? Would you just welcome him and say, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this without you. He loves you so much. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't think I would intentionally ever embarrass anyone for any reason. It just wouldn't be me. But I'd like to pray for you. If you're here today and you're ready for a change, you want to say, Jesus, help me. I believe my prayer could be something that would benefit you and help you. And if that's you and you want to say, Lord, I need you. I need change. I need my life to change. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift a hand to me just long enough so that I could see it? Just wherever you are, just lift it up. Just say, that's me. I'm the one. Thank you. I see you. Somebody else on my right, I see you. Two hands on my right. Is there just one more person to say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm away from God. I need Jesus in my life. Okay, you can put your hands down. Four people making the decision. Every Christian praying right now, helping me right now, because lives, this is it for them. I mean, this is the go time. Lord, I'm asking your power to break in on these lives, Lord. At the point of surrender, when they say, Jesus, I welcome you. I invite you into my life. Lord, would you meet them big time and change them forever? Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit and let them never be the same again. Wash away every sin, all guilt, all fear, all shame. Wash it away and walk with them and let them grow strong, Lord, to know you and serve you and walk as people from another realm. I thank you for this, Lord. You're hearing and answering this prayer for these four. Do it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close the service in just a moment. Yeah, you guys want to say welcome to the family, to these four? Wow. So if you raised your hand, or maybe you prayed that prayer with me and you didn't raise your hand, your next step would be to grab that card that says, I've decided. I'm going to invite you to do something. Again, I wouldn't embarrass you, but it'd be easy for you to fill out that card, I've decided, and take that to our team in the lobby where it says welcome. And we want to give you a gift. We want to help you and just record your visit. We're not going to take any time, but just something that we want to place in your hands, a copy of the Bible and a few things about your next step. Do that at the end of the service. Right now, I'm going to hold you for just about 10 minutes longer, and you're going to be thrilled. You're going to be thrilled to hear what goes on over the next few minutes. Foster the Bay is a ministry that I am super proud to be connected with, and we've got a beautiful opportunity. This ministry, you're going to hear about it. We've got a beautiful opportunity to stand with them, not just financially, which we'll receive the offering in just a moment. You'll be able to give to Foster the Bay. I know many people will want to. But also to keep Foster the Bay in your prayers and to maybe get on the Foster the Bay team. And here to talk to us about this amazing ministry is our very own Kylie Middlebusher. Kylie, we love you. Come on, talk to
the
people.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's welcome Kylie.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor David said, my name is Kylie. I'm part of this movement called Foster the Bay here. It's spreading throughout the Bay Area. But my favorite title today is just a member of Gateway. It's my favorite church, so it's a privilege to be here this morning with everyone. So Foster the Bay was created out of a call to action actually by a social worker here in Santa Clara County. About 4 years ago, she approached a pastor and said, hey, it's great you guys are trying to raise up a foster family, but we need a coalition. We need you to spearhead a faith alliance. Can you do that? And the church has responded with yes, yes, we can, because we have seen 75 churches partner together in the Bay Area. Yeah, amen. Partner together, and we are seeing them focus on all of us in unity, on raising up foster families and wrapping around what we call support friends around them. And I'll share a little bit more about that. But The thing is, here in Santa Clara County alone, there are 1,100 kids in foster care. That's 1,100 kids who woke up this morning on Mother's Day feeling pretty confused about how to feel about this day. It's 1,100 kids who've been pulled from their home because they have experienced trauma, they've experienced abuse, they've been neglected, and they're placed in foster homes. But let's bring that number down a little bit more. They're actually, out of 1,100, 250 of those kids are sent out of our county because there are not enough homes here in the Bay Area to meet the need. So they are being pulled from their schools, their siblings, you know, any cultural identity they have here in the Bay Area, and being moved to Fresno, Sacramento, all over. And just dream with me for a minute of what the Bay Area would look like if every year, as we saw foster families in the church step up, that number of 250 got smaller and smaller because we saw these kids being placed in our home right here. And that's the vision. That's what we're hoping to see. You know, I, as a Christian, we can all relate to this, that there was a time in my life where I had no hope, and I was given hope through Jesus. There's a time when I was an orphan. I was in need of a home. I was in need of an identity, and I found it in Jesus. What better people to walk into this calling of foster care than those of us who have seen the redemptive love of Jesus in such a supernatural way that we can give an outpouring of that to these kids right here in our backyard? I would love to share a little bit more about what the model is. We have a video I'm going to play, and then I'm going to come up here and kind of talk about some of the next steps and how we can all engage together to solve this crisis.
Statistically, I'm supposed to be dead, in jail, or homeless. You see, as a foster kid, my odds were already pretty bleak. About 30% of foster kids end up homeless. Less than 3% will go on to earn a college degree. And only about half will be gainfully employed by the time they turn 24. Yet, here I am. Why? All because of Rodney. Let me tell you about Rodney. You see, I spent 3 years trying to get kicked out of Rodney's foster home. And I'll be honest, I did everything I could think of, and I am a fairly creative guy. My most notable stunt was I opened up a checking account, and then I proceeded to write $10,000 worth of bad checks. I actually got picked up by the police for that little brilliant stunt. But what Rodney did was interesting. I remember after allowing me to spend the night in jail, he bailed me out the next morning, and I thought for sure that was gonna be it, that this guy was gonna give up on me. But Rodney sat me down and he said, "Josh, you know, you can keep causing problems, but you've got to realize, son, we don't see you as a problem. We actually see you as an opportunity." You see, Rodney didn't see what was on the surface. Right, this kid who was being a nuisance, this kid who was a troublemaker, or some might even say a lost cause. He saw what I could be. And that moment was my turning point. My turning point from being an inevitable statistic to who I am today. All because of one caring adult. You see, every kid is one caring adult away from being a success story. So let me be frank with you. You, watching this video right now, you could be the very reason one of these kids doesn't end up a statistic. Foster the Bay is focused on providing a loving home for every single kid in the foster care system. Now, they do this in two ways. Number one, by recruiting foster parents. Maybe that's something you're interested in. And they do this secondly, by recruiting individuals to support these foster parents. Maybe that's something you're interested in. You see, these support teams, they come alongside the foster families as they care for these kids. Because of Rodney, my life was genuinely, drastically, forever changed. And with Foster the Bay's model, all of us can be a Rodney, either as a foster parent or as a member of that support team for the foster parents. Either way you look at it, you could be that Rodney. You could be that one caring adult in a kid's life that forever changes his life. To learn more, check out fosterthebay.org/get involved.
At Foster the Bay, we have this motto that there's a church for every child. And we don't mean that as a way of the church going out and hoarding vulnerable children, but we mean this as the church giving an unconditional outpouring to children in need. And I've got to be honest, as a member of this church, when we hear Pastor David and all of our pastors constantly saying that we are here for inspiring, transformed lives, I don't think we're sitting in the pews because we're excited about a cool motto. I think it's because we understand the call to embody the love of Christ. That we are called to go outside of our church and to love those who need to be loved on. And so as we hear of this mission, as we hear of this call and this need, and even knowing that a government agencies are asking for the church to partner alongside with them, I think there are many here that are able to say yes and can step into that calling. Whether it's through a foster family to actually welcome a child into your home and to parent them and to love on them in the hopes of reunification, or if they do need a forever home and it's through adoption, or if you can be a support friend, someone who's going to carry the load so that our foster families are not walking alone and that you can provide meals or prayer, encouragement, whatever that looks like, there is a spot for you to engage in this crisis. And one other spot too is, as I was praying this morning, coming into church, I thought, man, God, one call to action I would love to see answered today is that somebody or a team of people would be willing to step into a role we call an advocate. And that's a person who's here, boots on the ground. They are championing on Gateway and our Foster the Bay ministry. That you're here, you'll be encouraging our foster families. You'll help out with the support friend relationship. You'll just be navigating, working with leadership, just to keep this ministry going. And you won't be alone. Foster the Bay, we'll pour into you as well. We'll mentor you, we'll coach you, we'll make sure you're equipped for this. But we want this ministry to be bigger than any just one brand. We want it to be God's ministry that's moving forward. And so as you decide how you want to get involved, Amy Fife and I are going to be out in the lobby and we'll be here to talk with you if you want to kind of learn a little bit more. We have something called the Next Step Card. If you fill it out, we'll make sure we drop off a foster kid at your home tomorrow. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's a non-commitment form. This is just you saying, I am saying yes to the Holy Spirit prompting me to take the next step. Prompting me to come around. We already have foster families who are here and they need support. I'm here, I'll be a support friend for them. We'd just love to have that conversation with you, just chat with you, get you to what we call an interest meeting where we host those monthly. So I look forward to meeting some of you in the lobby and look forward to talking more about how we can get involved.
Awesome. Let's thank Kylie. Beautiful. Thank you, Kylie. Proud of you. There's somebody who's found their assignment. Hallelujah. What's your superpower? Let's get busy for Jesus. Amen. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings, and I'm so grateful that Kylie could be here, and especially today, because we want to, in our offering time, we want to do something really neat for Foster the Bay. Let's get behind what they're doing, and everybody could do something. You can give on the app. There's a Foster the Bay slot on the app, or you can write on the envelope if you're doing that. Let's do something great. Kathy and I are jumping in, and let's make sure the good folks at Foster the Bay make sure understand that they're not alone. And then that advocate, that one person that would say, I want to lead a team. I want to be a part of mobilizing people at Gateway. You'd be our representative. You would represent me. You would represent Gateway. Talk to Kylie, and let's see what God is cooking up here, all right? Maybe that's your superpower. Let's worship for a moment. Then I'll come back, and I'm going to speak a blessing over all the women, especially today. everybody. I'm so glad we could be together. Did you have a good time this morning? Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. It's my prayer that as a result of our time together, that you would lead a more inspired life, a life that really is big for God. And I want to just speak a blessing over all of you, but especially, and my friends on the prayer team are coming right now too. I want to make sure we've got some people. If you need prayer today, we want to be able to pray for you. It's my desire today on this special day to bless all the women. Let me just say quickly to all the ladies, you know, there's a lot of things you could say on a day like today, but to all the women, you were created to reflect your Creator. You are imbued with qualities that are just like God, and you reflect the beauty and the awesome love of God like nobody else. You are truly special. And whether you're a mom or someday will be a mom, we're believing that God is going to use you in amazing ways. Would you all just lift your hands and receive my blessing? Father, thank you. Thank you that you live inside us. Now release your blessing to every woman. Let every dream come true that is in these women's hearts. Father, bless each and every person as we go. And let us be your instruments in the earth. Through Christ we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being with us this weekend. We love you. God bless you. If you need prayer, our team is here.